Okay, good morning.
Today's
daf is daf Chaf Gimel, but we left off kind of right in middle of something, so we'll just review where we were up to. So we had a halacha, which we said initially that we were talking about tzir, which is something that comes out of the fish, a liquid that comes out of the fish during the preservation process. So we said the halacha was, we talked about the fact that you could do hashakas hamayim, which is to put it in, and as we said, either, so fish juice or brine, whatever it is, doesn't become tameh because it's not a valid drink. So therefore the question is as follows. So we say that if we have a mixture here of water and this fish liquid, and so what we're saying is if it's the majority, so it doesn't become tummy because it's not eligible for tumma. And if it's the minority, meaning that water is the majority, so then water, unlike any other liquid, is eligible for hashakas hamayim. So that was the case that we talked about yesterday. So then we went on to say that therefore you have, thank you, that you have bittul barov, the majority negates the minority. And to that, Rabbi Yirmiyah said a halacha which said that this is true. In other words, people used to use tzir, used to use this fish stuff to, the Gemara says, either to dip their bread in, or they might use it in a pot of, some liquid that it's used as a seasoning, I guess. So Rabbi Yirmiyah came up with a chiddush to say that this that we say that it's negated, negates the minority. He says this applies, this works well, and that Hashakas Hamayim helps. He says this works well when we're dealing with him using it as a standalone, that he dips his bread in it. But if he were to mix it in a pot, it would be a problem. Why? Because Rabbi Yirmiyah has this concept that even if something became bottle. So in other words, in this case, let's say you had the water became bottle to the fish brine, so therefore it wasn't capable of being makabel tuma. If subsequently water gets mixed in with it, additional water, which is what happens when you add the water, when you put this in a pot, so now this nullified or negated mixture gets mixed with water. So what did we have? Let's say we had 49% water and 51% fish liquid. Right? So, in other words, what happens now is when you put it in the pot, that 49% of water is gonna mix with the water in the pot, and now it restarts the clock, so to speak. The idea that it comes back, in other words, that you look at the ratio again, and now what happens is that the water in the pot, together with the initial water, it restarts the clock and you look at it and therefore the whole thing becomes tummy because now it's become a majority of water at this point. So this was what we learned yesterday. And to this, Rav Dimi, had a question, on this concept. Rav Dimi asked Abaya, Rav Dimi Kamar Lashmaita, Rav Dimi was saying this halacha of Rabbi Yirmiyah and Abaya challenged it, saying, is it true that you could have this idea that tuma, once it becomes negated, can then get can get restarted and that it can go back into a new calculus? And to which Rav Dimi said, of course you can, and he brought this Mishnah which we've been dealing with, and now we're gonna pick up on that momentarily. So what was the Mishnah? The Mishnah discussed that you had a one saw of truma, that's tameh, that mixed together with 100 saw of chulin, and that are tahar. And we're talking now about chulin that's not capable of becoming tameh because it didn't have hechsher tumah. So to this, there's a machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion. Now, they don't fundamentally disagree. In other words, obviously, 1 in 100 can become batal. And the question that they differ on has to do with the fact of, in other words, do you have to pull out, for purposes of, in other words, do you have to pull out the one saw out of the 101? So Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion, yes, you do. Why? because when you pull out that one saw, or because you know that mixed in here, in this 101 saw, there's one that's tameh, and that's truma. So Rabbi Elias is of the opinion, you take one out, and we treat that one as if it's the one that went in that was tameh, and that's what enables you to eat the remainder. The Chachamim say no. The Chachamim say it became batal, and therefore you don't have to pull anyone out, because any given saw, you look at it and say it's batal in the other 100 saw, and therefore none of it needs to be pulled out. Now, the Chachamim acknowledge that there is a monetary debt to the Kohen, because the Kohen was entitled to this, so you have to, at a monetary level, you have to take a saw out and give it to the Kohen. But in other words, but at the time that it got mixed, any given saw is batal, and even if you have not pulled out an individual saw, it has been become batal. So this is the halacha that was brought in the Mishnah. But then the Chachamim say something interesting, which is it says that it becomes batal, but it continues that you have to eat this. You have to treat this mixture. What's left over, this even according to the Chacham, the 101 saw, you have to eat it either nikudim, which is dried out, or roasted, toasted, something like that, or mixed with mei peros, which is not something that's capable of becoming tamei, or you have to separate it into smaller pieces so that there's less than a kibeya of iser in there. So what is all of this basically saying? It's saying that for some reason you still need to treat, according to the Chachamim, you still need to treat the remaining mixture as in a way that prevents it from having tumah, because we're worried that somehow there's an element of tumah present here. So the idea that we're bringing is that that Rav Dimi is saying that you see that tumah they have to worry about the tumah that's there even though it's become batal. So then that's what we're going to pick up. So therefore, the Chachamim say you still have to treat it as if it has an element of Tumah inside it, and now we're at the bottom line of Chaf Beis Amud Beis, and we're going to say as follows. V'tani Allah, and we learned on that, Osan Chulin L'Rabbi Eliezer Matahe Aleihen. So we just finished saying that according to the Chachamim, the 101 Sa' still need to be treated in a way that's watching out for them becoming Tameh. The question is, what about, according to Rabbi Eliezer? So according to Rabbi Eliezer, you took one out, and we assumed that that one was the Tameh one. So the Gemara's question really is how absolute is that assumption that what you took out is Tameh? In other words, are you saying that we just assume halachically that every element of Tumah that was in there has now been removed by removing a single saw, and therefore there's no element of Tumah here? So according to the Chachamim, who say that it becomes batal, obviously somewhere in that 101 was an element of Tumah. According to Rabbi Eliezer, if you take literally what he says, that one we pulled out, you could say that perhaps there's no element of Tumah here whatsoever. So the Gemara's question, or what it's dealing with, is what about according to Rabbi Eliezer, to whom you have a stronger case to be made that there's no Tumah whatsoever in here, because you could say that it was pulled out when you pulled out the one saw. So the question the Gemara is asking is, do you still need to treat it to make sure that it's immune to Tumah, just like the Chachamim did, or is Rabbi Eliezer's argument stronger to say that there's no element of Tumah here and you don't need to worry about it? So we say on it, Osan Chulin, that 100 saw of Chulin, the Rabbi Eliezer, Matahe Aleihem, what's his view? Do you have to treat it in a way that's being careful for Tumah? So the Gemara says, yes, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, Yochlu Nekudin, O Kloyos, O Yolusha B'mei Peros, O Tischalik L'Isos, O Bavash Shalo Yehe Kebeah B'makam Echad. So it says, you have to take one of these measures. Either you have to make sure it stays dry, or that in some fashion roasted or toasted, which again, keeps it dry, or it gets mixed only with fruits that don't cause Hechsher Tumah. I'm sorry, liquids that don't cause Hechsher Tumah. Or you have to make sure that it's in small enough pieces that you don't have a kebeah worth of potential tumah, so you have to separate it into pieces. But basically, the same thing that the Chachamim said yesterday, that you have to treat it as if it might still have an element of tumah in it, so too Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that you might have to do it. So the Gemara wants an Ova Amar Ula, and Ula says, Matam, what is the reason? And at the end of the day, according to the Chachamim, this became batal. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it was removed. So why are you treating it as if there's concerns about Tumah here? So the Gemara says as follows. What are we worried about? In other words, this seems to be inconsistent. If the Tumah's gone, don't worry about Tumah. If the Tumah's present, then obviously the bittul or the removal, according to Rabbi Elazar, didn't work. So the Gemara says, no, what we're dealing with is a Gezeira. Fourth line. Gezeira Shema Yavi Kav Chulin Tmeyem Mi Makom Echad V'Kav Va'od Mi Minze. So he says, what's the case? So we now have this 101, according to the Chacham, we have 101 Kav of Tahar. In other words, because we knocked out both the Truma element and the Toma element, so you have 101 of Tahar Chulin, and according to Rabbi Elazar, you have 100 of Tahar Chulin, right? So what's the worry? The concern is that you're going to see this as absolute Tahar Chulin, right? So you have 100 or 101 of Tahar Chulin. So what happens? The guy has, from elsewhere, he has a Kav and a little bit of a Kav and a little bit of a tumay produce or whatever, or tumay mixture, whatever this is. So what does he do? He decides, oh great, I have this 100 or 101 which is tahar. I have this Kav that's tumay. So let me take my Kav of tuma and I'll take a Kav and a little bit of this tahar mixture that we have, either the 100 or the 101. And I'm going to mix them together in order to cause them to be batul. And the Mefarshim talk about im vatlan isla chatchila, that you can't ordinarily mix it, but in other words, in this case you can, perhaps because we're only dealing with tumah. There's other reasons brought as well. But in any event, this guy decides, I'm going to take this kav of tumah, I'm going to mix it with a kav and a little bit from this mixture, and I'm going to be mevatel it. So normally, as long as you have more, heter than Isser, so you're taking heter from this 100 or 101, a little bit more than the Isser that you're starting with, which is 1. But what's the problem? So he decides, I'm gonna take a Kav and a little bit from this 100, and I'm gonna take my other Tame Kav, Ivat Linhu Baruba, and I'm gonna make it Batul Barov, and therefore, he's going to treat the whole mixture at this point, the 2 and a little bit Kav, as being Tahar. But there's a problem, says the Gemara. The kivan, the ikka, hai mashahu, but since at the end of the day, present in this mixture is still a little bit of tumah, according to the Rabbanan, obviously, because it became batel in there, not obvious that it can get reawakened, but obvious that it's there. And even according to Rabbi Eliezer, the fact that we assume that you took it out doesn't necessarily prove that you took out every element of tumah. So what's gonna happen? Included in this kav and a little bit is some amount of tumah, right? And what's going to happen? Matzah min es mino v'niyar. So now you're going to have the tumah that originally had been batel is now going to mix with this other tumah that you brought along. So in other words, let's just assume a kav is 50 measures of something. I'm just making it up. And so what happens? So he has 50 measures that has a little bit of an element of tumah in it. And he's, so that's 50. Now he's gonna say, I'm gonna bring 51 parts from this tahar mixture that we made tahar by, through bittul barov. And his thought is, okay, there's 101, 51 are tahar, 50 is tameh, so it knocks it out. But the problem is that since included in that 51 parts that we took from this 100 saw or 101 saw is some element of tumah, we might end up with a scenario where that little bit of tumah, the one that had previously been negated, is now going to mix with these 50 parts of tumah that he just brought, and instead of what he intended, which was 51 parts of tahar mixing with 50 of tumah and negating it, instead you might actually end up with 51 of tumah and 50 of tahara, and therefore the whole thing's not going to be batel. So that's the concern. So what's happening? So we're concerned that the small element of tumah that was present in that 100 saw or 101 saw has now been niyor, is to reawaken, is to come alive, that we're now worried that it's going to come alive, and therefore we are going to have a majority of tumah and not a minority. So you might ask, well, how does that help? In other words, this idea that we're saying that you should treat it as if it's dry, because if you treat it if it's dry, if you train your mind to recognize that there's an element of tumah in this, you won't come to mix to do this, to take your kav of tumah from elsewhere, mix it with a kav and a little bit from this 100 saw, so we're treating it with an element of tumah so that the guy doesn't come to do that. But what do we see from all of this? We see that we have to worry that the little bit of tumah that was in this kav and a little bit that had previously been negated by rov is now going to merge together with this tumah you're bringing from somewhere else. So you see the idea that you could reawaken tumah. So all of this long thing was because Abaya was challenging whether you could have tumah reawaken. And Rav Dimi is saying, yes, you see from this Mishnah that we have to worry that the element of tumah is going to get reawakened, and the guy is going to try to do a bittul barov, and he's actually going to end up not doing bittul barov. He'll end up eating something that's tameh because it's 51 to 50 tameh, and that's a problem. So we see that there is such a thing as matzah minas mino v'nir, that something finds its part and it gets reawakened, and the tumah is there. So this was a challenge to Abaya, because Abaya was saying this concept doesn't exist, and Rav Dimi says it does. So Amar Lei, Abaya said back to Rav Dimi, im tumah oireres tumah, tahara oireres tumah. He says, okay, look, I buy the concept. I agree with you that tumah, when it matches up with another piece of tumah, can get reawakened, so to speak. So therefore, he obviously agrees with the Mishnah, saying, what are we worried about? We're worried that he's going to bring 51 parts of what he considers tahara to 50 tumah, but the elements of tumah that are in that 51 are going to merge with the 50. He says, I agree with that. I'm not arguing with you. He says, but I'm going to disagree on Reb Yirmiah's case. Because if we remember, what was Reb Yirmiah's case? We had water that had become batel, right? And now we're mixing it in a kedei. So you had water, let's say 49% water that was tamei, right? Because it had tumah of amaretz. We had 49%. It had been negated with 51. And what Reb Yirmiah was saying, when you mix it with the water, so now you had the former 49% of water, which was tumah of amaretz, mixing with the water in the pot now, and therefore it doesn't work because matzah min is mino v'nir, that the water in the pot connects with the water that was there previously. So Abaya says, in that case, I'm going to disagree with you. Why? Because it's one thing to say that when you have two elements of tumah and they find each other, they could reawaken and you have to re-examine the percentage. But he says here, it's true that the water in the pot is going to merge with the water that had previously been negated by the tzir. But he says, but so what? They found each other, but they don't combine. Why? Because the 49% water that was in the tzir, which is tameh, was tameh. The water in the pot is not tameh. So he says, it's true you're finding water. Water is matzah minas mino. It's finding its companion. The water in the pot is finding the water that had previously been negated by the tzir. And at some level they combine, but it doesn't matter because if you're combining two elements of tumah together, they can add up to more than a majority. But if you're combining tahar water in a pot with previously tameh but negated water in the tzir mixture, who cares? So that's what it's coming out, is that Abaya is saying, I agree with the concept that you can reinstate tumah that's been negated, and you have to worry about that. That's why we worry about the mixture from the 100 or the 101. But I don't worry about what Reb Yirmiah was worried about, because who cares if water that's tahar finds water that was previously tameh and has become tahar, because it doesn't reawaken. And even if it reawakens it, there's nothing to combine to create tumah because the water in the pot was never tameh. So that is the conclusion of there was a challenge to Reb Yirmiah. We thought they were challenging the concept of matzah minas mino v'nir altogether, and the Gemara is saying, no, it's not challenging that concept, that we agree with, but you can't combine something that was formerly tameh with something that's now tahar and say that the whole mixture should become tameh. Okay, so we're now at the two dots. The Gemara is now going to ask questions on this halacha of Reb Yirmiah. According to Rashi, not relevant to this issue of Abaya. In general, we're saying that matzah min as mino v'nir, that something that had previously been negated can get re-energized, so to speak. We're going to question that concept. Now, I'll just tell you the premise. We're going to have three questions here. The premise of all of them is really the same, which is there's two ways that you can understand what happened with Bittul here. One, the way we would normally think about it is when something becomes Bittul, there's no Tumah left. The Tumah, whatever was Tameh became Tahar. In other words, whatever was Aser became Mutter. It just totally combined here. That's how we would normally think of it. But the issue is that if we're saying Matzah Min is Mino V'Nior, that you can have a concept that something that had previously been negated can get reinstated at some level. So you're saying that the Tumah or the Iser is not gone. It's there because it's obviously capable of being reinstated. So it's obviously there. Right? So that's going to be the premise of the question here, is that if you're saying something's there, we have an issue. And that's going to be, so let's just see it inside. Eisvei, Eifer, Kasher, Shinisari, Be'efer, Mikla. So you have, we have the Parah Aduma, takes ashes, that are prepared special way with the, ashes. One of the unique elements of Parah Aduma is we say that this is why it's a chok, that it's Metaris, Atamemim, Metames, Atahorim. The idea that you use this ash water in order to be metayer people who are tamei meis, but if you touch the mixture when you're tahar, you're going to become tamei. So the question is, this is weird. How do you have something that makes it that makes other people tahar and makes them also tamei? But in any event, that's the halacha that the mixture of the ash water from Parah Aduma can make someone tamei. So says the Gemara, Efer Kasher Shenisari be'Efer Mikla. So you mixed some of this Parah Aduma mixture with regular ash mixture. So we say Hochen Acharov Litame. That we're going to say that if the majority of it is Parah Aduma. So he says if the majority is Parah Aduma, so we go after Rov and say that that becomes tamei. So now we're going to say as follows: Ve'i ruba efer miklahu lo matame. And similarly, if the majority is the regular ash, so it's not matame. So this is regular case of rov. If the ashes that make someone tame are the majority, so then the mixture makes someone tame. If the ashes that make up the majority are the kind that don't make you tame, regular ashes, so then the ashes, the paraduma ashes that do make you tame, are bittul. Okay. So what we're saying is basic calculus of bittul. But the Gemara wants to know as follows. But if you're telling me that when there's bittul happens, that there's an element of the tumo or the iser that remains present, so the Gemara is going to say as follows. So it says, so hold on a second. So what's the idea? When you have this, let's say you had this mixture of, so let's say you had this mixture of 51% regular ashes that don't make you tame and 49% paraduma ashes that do make you tame. So you say the whole mixture does not make you tame anymore because majority does not make you tame. But the question is as follows, that what we must be saying is that since obviously there are tame ashes in here, what we're saying is that at any given point when you touch this ash mixture, we're saying, what are you touching? You're touching something that's of heter. Even if you touch every little bit, it doesn't matter because at any given point, you're touching one part. And we say, Rove tells you that the part you're touching is tahar. But ask the Gemara, that works if you're touching a piece because you're not touching it all at once. But what if you pick it up, right? So clearly, if we say that bittul means it's gone, it's as if it disappeared. Okay, so it's gone. And even if you pick it up, there's no tumah in there. But if you're saying there's enough tumah in there that it can get reawakened, so then when you're carrying it, you're obviously somewhere in there. You can't say I'm touching the part that's tahar because you're holding the whole thing. So there's tumah maga, there's tumah of touching, and there's tumah of carrying. If you're carrying this mixture, you're obviously carrying tumah. So again, the question only becomes a question if you say matzah min es min ovin niyor, that you can reinstate tumah that's gone. Because if you say you can't reinstate tumah, you say fine, the tumah disappeared in its entirety, and even if you lift it, there was no tumah here. But once you say that there's residual tumah, then when you're lifting it, there's obviously tumah in there, and even though you shouldn't become tumah for touching it, you should become tumah for carrying it. So the Gemara says, I have an easy answer. Ha'itmar Allah, it was said on that, Amar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, tahar milatame b'maga, aval matame b'masa. He says, in fact, that is the halacha. That if you have this 49% Tamei water and 51% Tahar water, that if you're going to touch it, you're going to be Tahar, because any piece you touch, we say, Rov told you that that piece is Tahar, but if you lift the entire thing, then it's a problem, because clearly you're carrying Tumah then, and in fact, you would be Tamei for carrying it. So that's a good, that's an easy answer, as you're saying, you're right. So ask the Gemara, Bahamar of Chisson. Now the Gemara is going to ask really what's exactly the same question, but what's happening is as follows, that unlike previously, which we learned something that was, that came from a Mishnah or a Brisa, a Tanaitic statement, here we're going to say something from Rechista. Rechista is an Amora. So the Gemara's premise is that when a Tana says something, Tanaim speak in shorthand, or it's presented in shorthand. So you can analyze and figure out, you know, that they didn't say something. But the question is, an Amora is expected to explicate or to make exceptions or to go to a deeper level. So now we have a statement. V'hamar Rav Chista says, Nevela b'teila b'shchuta, she'i asher l'shchuta she'teyase nevela. That's going to be the girsa that we're going to read. The Rashi insists that that's the proper girsa. So we say as follows, that if you have nevela, which is meat that is tome nevela, that got mixed with more meat that is shchuta, which is tahar. So we're gonna say that the valid meat overwhelms and is the majority over the nevela. Now, what is all of this about? Because the reason we're talking about whether, or in other words, we're saying shchuta can never become nevela. So meaning, once an animal is shechted, there's no ability to ever make it into nevela, right? Because once it's shechted, you can't have nevela. Nevela is an animal that died without shechita. So the issue is as follows, what does that have to do with anything? Is we've learned many times, machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda, about when you have bittul, is mim b'she'enu mino, is batul, that if you have two things that are distinct, they definitely can be mevatul. If you have mim b'mino, then that's machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. What we're saying here is, according to everyone, because we're going to say this is min b'she'eno mino, because shchuta can never become nevela, so therefore they're two distinct things, and there's going to be bittul. So what we're basically saying is that nevela tame meat gets mixed with more shchuta tahar meat, or mutter meat, and we're saying they're min b'she'eno mino because they're different, and therefore it's going to be bittul. So now ask the Gemara. So fine, so now you have this mixture of 49% nevela meat with 51% regular meat. So he says, Nahid b'maga lo mutame, l'tama b'masa. So the same question is that if you're saying that there's the ability to reinstate tuma, so there's a little bit of tuma in here. So it's true that any piece of meat you touch, you say that rove tells you that it's meat you can eat. But if you lift the whole mixture, so obviously you're carrying tuma. So it's the same question the Gemara asked before, except now it's asking it on a Amora. And in Amora, we would expect him to have explained that if there's a difference, that the maga it's tar, but masa it's not, that touching is tar, but carrying it's not tar. So why didn't he explicate it? So the answer they give is interesting. He said, Amar lei, atum b'de Rav Chista masnisa la. You learned it from Rav Chista, who's an Amora. So in fact, you have a problem, because he should have articulated a difference between touching and carrying. Anam b'de Rav Chia masnisa la. We learned it from Rav Chia. So Rav Chia, as we know, Rav Chia is a Tana, and therefore, so how did they learn it? Tani Rav Chia learned as follows, Nevelo shchuto b'telo zu b'zu, that you can have bittol between Nevelo and shchuto, v'itmar Allah, and we learned on that, Rav Yossi Rav Chanina, that Rav Yossi Rav Chanina said on Rav Chia's Tanaitic statement, tahar milatame b'maga v'matame b'masa, that in fact it is only tar. It is only tahar if you touch it, because Rov tells you any piece you're touching is tahar, but if you pick up the entire mixture of meat, it's gonna become tameh. So again, we've answered the question by saying it's not really an Amora statement, it's really a Tanaitic statement, and therefore it could be clarified, and they didn't necessarily have to say it. Okay, so far we have not, challenged Matzah Minas Mino Venir, but we're gonna try one more. So the Gemara says, Vahadit Tanan, similar concept, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer. This was, and this is presumably why we brought this whole Gemara here, is because it asks from our Mishnah, that we said in our Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, Behema gasas shafo chararas dam, hare zu tikaver v'niftara mina b'choro. So we said as follows, that if you have a behema gasa, a large behema, that passes a charara is like a biscuit of blood, but like this dried lump of blood. We said that you have to bury that lump of blood, and it's putter, and the animal that passed that blood is the, any future offspring is not going to be a bechor. So what's the idea? Because presumably in this charara of dam was a fetus, or you know, some a sufficiently developed fetus that we consider this animal as if it's already given birth. And therefore, because it's already given birth, albeit to a stillborn, there's any future animals are not going to be a bechor. But Tani Rav Chiya learned on that. And we said there as follows. And so the question is, that Rav Chiya said that it's not metame b'maga or b'masa. So why is it not metame? Because if we're saying at the end of the day, included in this biscuit of blood is a fetus which is metame, right? So it should become tame through maga or masa, right? So but Rav Chiya is telling us it doesn't. So we say, so what's the reason, we learned this before, what's the reason Rav Chiya says that it doesn't become tame, even though you're saying in there is a fetus, is because we're saying at the end of the day, in that biscuit is a lot of other blood and stuff, and the actual fetus portion is a minority, and therefore it's batel. So we're saying, you have a real fetus in here, but it mixes with other blood, and therefore it's batel. So ask the Gemara the same question we've been asking all along. Amai, nihi de b'maga lo metame, tetame b'masa. So he says, okay, again, same thing. Any part of this blood biscuit or thing that you touch, you're going to say that part isn't tame, so that you don't become tame by touching it. Because any part you touch, you say is tar. But at the end of the day, you should say that if you carry it, though, since Matzah Minas Min of a Niyar tells you that there's a residual tumah, that you should have tumas masa. Now, what did we answer the previous two questions that we asked similar questions? We said, you're right. If you carry it, you're tame. If you touch it, you're not tame. But the problem is here, Reb Chiya said, you say, have the Tanaitic statement, so you can no longer give the answer we've been giving. And in fact, we don't have an answer. So Ishtik, he was quiet. He didn't have an answer to this question. So that's, so now, the Gemara is going to try and answer it, separately. So the Gemara says, he was quiet, but maybe I have an answer. Dilma, shani hacha, dehavile tuma srucha. So the Gemara says as follows. Maybe we're not dealing with, in other words, we assume that the reason Rav Chiya said it's not tamei b'maga b'masa is because it's batel. That the fetus, the aborted fetus, the stillborn, was batel in all the other blood. He says, and that would explain, but that would only explain why it's tahar by touching, but it would not explain why it's tahar by carrying. So the Gemara says, so maybe it's not a rov issue, because then you have to worry that you can't carry it. Maybe the issue is the fact that something that is srucha, it's spoiled, meaning it's not, in other words, it's not something that a person, it's not roi l'achila. So maybe the reason it's tar is not because there's bitul, but rather just because it's something disgusting that's not roi l'achila. And therefore, when something is not roi l'achila, it becomes no longer tame. So when Rav Chiya said that there's no maga or masa, maybe it was because it's something so spoiled. And by the way, we just encountered this concept because we said that shchuta can never become nevela. The corollary to that, we've learned many times in Daf Yomi that nevela can become shchuta, meaning can become mutter like shchuta, because nevela when it spoils enough that is no longer capable of being eaten, and we'll see this in more detail in a minute, that it becomes mutter. So here he's saying also that maybe the explanation for Reb Chiya was it's not that it's batel barov. If it's batel barov, there would still be residual of tumah, and you would be tame if you carried it, not if you touched it, but if you carried it. But maybe the reason Reb Chiya said there's no tumah is because it's just so spoiled that no one would eat it, and therefore that's the reason he says that there's no tumas maga or masa. So the Gemara says, "Hani chalabar pada damar tuma chamura ad leger v'tuma kala ad lekelav." So he says that works well if you say that. I'll explain what this means in a minute, but I'll just tell you the basic point that works well if you say, according to Bar Pada, who holds that once something is ineligible for a human being to eat it, that in fact it loses its tuma because this biscuit of blood is not something that a human being would eat, but it is something that a dog would eat. So according to Bar Pada, who says that once a human being wouldn't eat it, it has no tumah, so it makes sense that Reb Chiya is saying the reason there's no magar masa is because it's so disgusting, no human being would eat this blood cake, and therefore it's tahar. So that works well. But, he says, v'tumakal al-kelev, holochazi al-ger. So that works well because this blood biscuit is not, eligible for a ger, for a human being to eat it. So now I've explained to you the basic point. Now let's just read what it says here. So, we're gonna see in a minute that we learn from the pasuk by Nevela that what should you do with Nevela? If you have Nevela, you can feed it to the ger toshav. The ger toshav, exactly what that is a big subject of, we've talked about it in the past, but it's basically a guy who's agreed to keep the Shavu Mitzvah B'nei Noach. So the halacha is, you could take your nevela and give it to him. So we learn as follows, that's fact number one, that if it gets spoiled to that point, you can give it to the ger, that's what the pasuk says. And also there's a concept that maga and masa, our maga is touching tumah, masa is carrying tumah. Tumas masa is more chomer in some fashion because if you carry tumah, meaning you're not touching it directly, but you're transporting it, not only do you become tumah, but your clothing also becomes tumah, right? So therefore, carrying tumah is more chomer than touching tumah. So we don't need to get into the details here, but Bar Pada says tumah chamura, which means carrying tumah ad lager. It's considered tameh until a ger tosha of a human being wouldn't eat it. But tumah kala, touching tumah, until a dog wouldn't eat it. So he says, okay, so according to Bar Pada, that's fine. Because Reb Chiya is saying it's tar from magar masa because it's disgusting. No human being would eat it. El Reb Yochanan, the Omar, but according to Reb Yochanan, it says, amabez, achazu v'achazu ad lekelev. Whether we're talking about touching tumah or carrying tumah, it needs to be it needs to be something that even a kelev wouldn't eat. Hachazi lekelev. But at the end of the day, this biscuit or cake of blood, a dog would eat it. So it says, your explanation of Reb Chiya that it wasn't bittul berov worked according to Bar Pada, because you say the reason it's not tamei v'magar v'masa is because it's not eligible for human consumption, even though it's eligible for a dog to eat it. But according to Reb Yochanan, who says that the only time it becomes spoiled enough that it becomes tahar is if it was in a royal achilos kelev, and here it's royal achilos kelev, so you have no answer. So the Gemara says kasha. So we asked this question against Reb Yirmiyah. Ishtik, he was quiet. The Gemara tried to give an answer on its own and says no, because according to Bar Pada, but according to Reb Yochanan, your answer doesn't work. So we're left with a kasha, as we've learned many times, but particularly in Baba Basra. Kasha generally means that it's not a tiyufta, it's a challenge to which there's some kind of answer. Okay, Amar Beis, second line, Gufa. So now we're going to go back on something we learned. Bar Pada Amar, Tumah Chamura Ad Lager, V'Tumah Kala Ad Lekelev, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Achazu V'Achazu Ad Lekelev. That Bar Pada says that for Tumas Masa, the Chumrah of Tumas Masa, that you become Tameh and your clothes also become Tameh, disappears once the thing is inedible for a human being. But if it does not need, and at that point it becomes tar and it's no longer tame, Rabbi Yochanan says no, it needs to become disqualified for a dog. So ask the Gemara, my tama, what's the reason of Bar Pada? What's his reason? The chsiv, because it's written, lo sochul kol nevela, so the pasuk says as follows, lo sochul kol nevela, lagera asher bisharecha titneno v'achala. So he says, you should not eat nevela, to the ger who's in your gates, you should give it to him and he should eat it, right? So obviously, we're talking about something that's edible. So the Gemara says, nevela, give it, nevela is tamei, so give it to the ger, right? So, now we're obviously not talking about a ger tzedek, someone who became Jewish, we're talking about this guy who accepted Shavu Mitzvah B'nei Noach. So what do you see? You see that the nevela that is tamei is the kind that you could give to the guy to eat, so it's only something that's edible for a human being. Haroi lager kruya nevela, v'shein haroi lager and a kruya nevela, that if something is edible by a guy, that's when we call it nevela. At the point that a human being wouldn't eat it, it's no longer called nevela. So ask the Gemara v'idach. That seems like a good limud. So why Reb Yochanan would you say that it needs to get to a level that is not royal achilas kelev? So the Gemara says lemiuta hecha de'esricha meikara. So he says, no, I agree with you that there's something about edibility that is implied from that pasuk, but I'm not ready to say that as soon as something becomes inedible that it becomes tara. What I'll tell you what that's talking about is the following. that if you had something that was spoiled from the very beginning. So Rashi gives the example, kigon shenishtabru evareha michayim, that what happened? They had an animal broke his leg when he was living. Vihislia, and it became wormy, it became spoiled, right? So and then he died. So we're saying, okay, that's excluded from Nevela, because you have something that from its very beginning of its existence, meaning as soon as it was capable of being Nevela, when the animal died, it was already spoiled. So you say, I'll tell you that that's less of a Chiddush, so that's what the Pasuk is excluding. And when it says you should give it to the Ger, it's saying that which you can't give to the Ger is something that was so disgusting, a human being wouldn't touch it from its very beginning. But maybe, says Rabbi Yochanan, that if at some point, when it first became an nevela, a human being would eat it, the fact that it subsequently got spoiled doesn't necessarily remove it from nevela. The exclusion of human being eating it is only at the moment it becomes nevela, not later on. But if it was nevela at any point in its life that was edible by a human being, even if it subsequently becomes inedible, it doesn't matter. That's Rabbi Yochanan's view. So v'idach, so that's a good question. So in other words, any time you have an exclusion from a pasuk, you learn out the lesser chiddush. So there's a chiddush that only when it's spoiled from the beginning does a human being eating it matter. But maybe Enoch Nami, like Rabbi Yochanan says, that if it spoils later, it never loses its toma, even if it ceases to be edible for a human being, and only when it becomes Enoroi Lachilos Kelev. So what would Bar Pata say back to that? The Gemara says, Hisricho Meikara Lachicho Krala Miute Afra Baalmahu. That in a case that you're describing, where it was disgusting from the very beginning, the moment it became an Avela, I didn't need this pasuk to tell me that, because that's just dirt. So either you could understand that this is just a svara, or you could look at the pasuk more carefully. It says, lo sochlu kol nevela, you shouldn't eat any nevela. So obviously, we're talking about something that has to be edible from its very beginning, because it says you shouldn't eat it, so we're talking about something that's edible. Then the pasuk says, la gera asher b'sherecha titnena v'acholo, you should give it to the ger and he should eat it. So now and that's the part of the pasuk that the Gemara was focusing on. So now we know it had to be edible, and now it's adding in something else that you should give it to the ger so that he could eat it, meaning it has to be another level of edibility. So we're saying the fact that if it was spoiled from the very moment, you had this wormy leg at the moment the animal died, that's covered by, you shouldn't eat it. And then when it says, and that to the ger you should give it so that he could eat it, is saying it has to be further edible, that even if something was edible at the moment it became an avela, but subsequently it got spoiled sufficiently that it's no longer edible, that too is covered by this pasuk according to Bar Pada. Okay, Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov says, Behema gasa sheshafa charar is dam, that if you have this animal that passes this biscuit of blood, harezu to cover, it should be buried, beniftarim in a bechora, and it's pata from bechora, we said because it was a valid fetus somewhere in that biscuit. Betani Reb Chiya, and as we said before, we had it previously today, in bechora, betani Reb Chiya, learn enim etam lo b'maga v'lo b'masa. It doesn't become tame either by touching or by carrying. It wasn't clear to us why it doesn't become tame by carrying. That was the sugi before. V'am Reb Yochanan, Mishum bitol barov naguba. That the reason, Rabbi Yochanan says, the reason that Rabbi Chiya says that there's no tumah b'magar b'masa is because at the end of the day, even though this was a valid fetus, the fetus was only a small part of this biscuit and it was a bitol. So now the Gemara asks, my iri mishum bitol barov, typically the lo eschazi klal. So it says, you've now introduced this idea to me that if something gets sufficiently spoiled that a human being wouldn't eat it, that it loses its tumah. So why did you need to explain Rabbi Chiya as saying that it was because bitul barov? Why not just say because no human being would eat this blood biscuit? So the Gemara says, Hanami is chazi meikara agavima. So he says, I'm sorry. So what the Gemara is asking now is, not only have you introduced that concept, but you've told me that everyone agrees that if something's spoiled from the very beginning, that it doesn't have tumah. So in other words, we said before that maybe you have to wait for a kelev, and as we answered that question before, that's only but now that you've said something that's spoiled from the very beginning, everyone agrees, even Rabbi Yochanan, that it doesn't become tameh, so then that it loses its tumah. So why did Rabbi Yochanan have to explain Rabbi Chiya as saying it's a rov issue? Maybe it's just that this is something that was never roi from the beginning. So the Gemara answers, no, because this was roi from the beginning, agav ime. Why? Because we've learned this concept many times, that when an animal is inside the mother, you're allowed to eat it. Like when you shech the mother, it covers everything that's in it. And that includes the fact that, we were asking, this, the Gemara's kasha is only a kasha, now that we've said that everyone agrees that if it was never roi lachila, that it's not tameh. So why not say that that's the explanation? The Gemara is saying, no, because this blood biscuit was at one point roi lachila, because when it was still in the mother, if you would have shechted the mother, you'd be able to eat that blood biscuit. Not that you would, but you could. So therefore, it's not considered something that was never edible. Okay, Tanan Hatsum, we learned over there, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Omer, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov says, Tzir tar, shenafel etocho mayim koshu tamei. So I'm not going to get into all of the detail here because a lot of detail, but the basic idea of this goes back to what we learned before. If you have this fish liquid, right, that is tar because it's not capable to become tameh, we're talking about here where you did what we talked about before, where you had a mixture of water and fish liquid, and you did hashakas mayim, you put it in, and we said mamanav shach, it's good. Because if it's majority fish liquid, so it was never capable of becoming tumi. And if it's majority water, hashakas mayim helps. So you did that here, and now a little bit of water falls in. So let's just learn the way we learned that, according to the way Abaye would learn, that it has to be that it's water of the Amaretz, so that has tuma. So if a little bit more of water falls in, then it's tameh. So that's the case. You had a mixture of fish liquid and water. You did ashakas amayim, then a little bit more water that's tameh fell in, and we say that this makes it tameh. So I'm Reb Nachman, I'm Rabbi Baravua, Zosomeris, this is to say, nechshadu amaretz la'arev mechza betzir. So Gemara is saying, you see that we have to worry, and again, I don't want to get into too much detail, but you have to worry that when the Amaretz, did the balance between seer, between the fish liquid and water, he did it basically 50-50. So therefore, what's going to happen? That you did Ashakas Amayim. But now if you take a little bit more of tamei water, this Amaretz water, and you mix it in, so it's going to be Matzah Minas Minovin Nir, it's going to reawaken it, and therefore, it's going to become tameh again, right? So the Gemara is just saying, we see from here that if an Amaretz mixed at 50-50, if you add a little bit, it might take it over the realm, and then therefore, it's going to reinstate the tuma of what was previously 50% or let's say 49%, and now it's going to become tameh. So the Gemara asks, Velamali mechza, filu batzer mi mechza nami. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Why are you telling me that there's 50-50 here, which implies that only, or that the little bit adds on top only if there was 50% to water in there, which could have become tameh, and now it adds to that. So he says, even less than that. Let's say it was 49% water, 51% fish liquid. And then we said the fish liquid was negated the water. And so now what happens is when you add some more water from the Amaretz, that's tameh, it reawakens the 49%, takes it over the 51%. So why are you telling me 50-50? Even 49-51, it's good. Vahani mashu havale palgo palgo lo batel. This is part of the question. The Gemara says, why are you telling me that it had to be 50-50 and you add on top of 50? Why not say it was 49-51? You added enough and it became 50-50. When it becomes 50-50, there's no bitul barov. Bitul barov says you have to be over 50%, right? So the Gemara says, ema ad mechza. You're saying you're right that the Amaretz will put up to a half. So if it's a half, it'll reinstate. If it was 49%, it'll reinstate, right? So it basically is saying you're right. Ibaisema, I'll give you another answer. Tumas Amaretz drabanan, tumas mashkin drabanan. So he says as follows, that we have double drabanans going on here. The fact that in Amaretz his water is considered tame is because he's not careful. That was a drabanan gzera. The fact that you have tumas mashkin altogether is also a drabanan. So when we're dealing with a double drabanan, so we're going to say as follows, Beruba gazer rabbanan, but pago pago la gazer ba rabbanan. So maybe that by a rabbanan dekadin, the chachamim said that even if it's so he says that when are they gazer that you have to worry is only if you have an actual minority. But if you have 50-50, chachamim weren't gazer, and that's why the gemara is telling you that even if it's 50-50, that is how it was, and it was batal, and so you're adding on to the 50% the little bit that makes it matzah minas mino v'nira, and it becomes tamei. Okay, says the Mishnah. Rav Shimon Gamliel, says halakeach behema menika mino ova kochavim. So we've been talking about if you get an animal from a guy, how do you know? Maybe it was already had a bechor. So in which case, since we don't know, it becomes a suffolk bechor. So what happens here? Rav Shimon Gamliel says if you buy a behema that is nursing from an ova kochavim. So you don't worry. In other words, we can assume that if this animal that you bought from the guy is nursing a calf or whatever it is, a baby, that's its child, and then therefore there's no suffolk bechor. The next baby that's born is definitely not a bechor. Because we assume that we do not worry for the scenario that maybe it's this animal's nursing a different animal's offspring. So Gemara says nechnas atoch edra v'ras hamavkiros minikos hashenu mavkiros minikos. So now this is the same case. It's just that we're dealing with multiple that you have. You go into your eder, into your flock, and you see some animals that you know previously gave birth to animals. Are nursing, and some animals that never gave birth to an offspring is nursing. So the question is, do you say, I have no idea which calf or which baby belongs to which mother, and therefore they're all suffolk bechor, even though we know for sure that some of the animals that gave birth had previously given birth? The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, no, ein choshishin shema b'nashal zeh ba lo eitzel zu, o shema b'nashal zu ba lo eitzel zu. We don't assume, even when you have multiple animals sitting there, we don't assume that an animal is nursing anyone else's kid, and therefore any animal that had previously had an animal that had previously had a baby, the animal that's nursing from it is vadai not a bechor, and you can eat it. The other ones are vadai bechor, and you have to give it. So, all right, we'll end here, and we'll figure out the time for tomorrow. Mitzvah Shem. Have a wonderful Shabbos.